Father God, we thank you that you are here. And because you are here, we can rejoice and we can celebrate and we can laugh together as the body of Christ. So Lord, thank you that you are working. Thank you that you are meeting us in this place. And Lord, we ask that you would speak here, that you would use me to speak your words, and that, Lord, that everyone who has come would leave here having encountered you, having met you, and would leave here just awed by how awesome and amazing you are. So Lord, we just ask that you would work and speak here in this place through me. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As a pastor, there's probably one question that I get asked more than any other question, or at least a variation of the question. Sorry? No. I only get asked that at Chinese churches. It's not a deep theological question, kind of a little bit more along the lines of what Herman said. But it's probably one of the most common questions that I get asked. You can try to think what it might be. Sorry? No. No, sorry? Wait, I heard one that I'm... it's not that one. I think it was Erica? No? What do I do? Similar. Very close. Yes. It's basically... So you only work 1 hour a week, right? Or... A variation of that is, what do you do the rest of the week? I think that there's a lot of confusion about what pastors do. And I'm guessing for some of you sitting here, I'm sure you guys all know what I do, and you're not asking that question. But you may be thinking, looking at the sign behind that says priesthood of all believers, you may be wondering, what do we do as the priesthood of all believers? You may be thinking, isn't that just, I come to church once a week? Or I go to fellowship, or I go to Bible study. Isn't that all we need to do as the priesthood of all believers? And I know my friends often, it's usually my friends who are asking. It's not, so once in a while it'll be random strangers, but I think most strangers feel kind of bad assuming I only work one hour a week. So it's usually my friends who ask. And when I tell them I actually do other stuff the rest of the time, they get surprised. And I'm guessing for a lot of people in the priesthood of all believers, If we tell you you actually have to do stuff as the priesthood, there may be some people who are surprised. One of the central activities of the priesthood of all believers is prayer. And I know some of you are thinking, again, haven't we talked about prayer enough over the past 2 years? And maybe you'd be right. We have talked about prayer over the past 2 years. But I think there's still more that can be said about prayer, especially because as a whole church, I think that prayer is one area that we really need to improve in. I mean, we do programs great. We do activities great. But when we mention prayer, it's like a lot of us all of a sudden get busy that day. I think there's often a tendency to think that prayer isn't all that important or that it isn't all that useful. But I think Moses teaches us some great lessons about prayer. So we'll turn to the words of Moses as recorded by the psalmist in Psalm 90. I think that at the heart of a lack of prayer in our lives is ultimately what we believe about prayer. That a lot of times we believe, because what we believe ultimately shapes what we do. So when we don't pray, I think we have to look at what we believe about prayer. Or what we should believe about prayer. And I think part of the reason we don't pray is because we don't think prayer does much. If we're honest with ourselves, I think somewhere deep down inside, if we don't pray, there's a part of us that thinks that prayer doesn't really do much. We look back at the times that we've prayed and have been disappointed because God didn't answer our prayers. Or usually more accurately, God didn't answer our prayers the way we wanted them answered. And we start to think that prayer doesn't really make a difference. I don't think that that is entirely wrong in that a lot of times when we pray, our prayers aren't answered the way we want. But I think that's the case because of how we see prayer and what we see as the purpose of prayer. I think that most people think that prayer is about getting what I want or getting what I need or what I think I need. And so we use prayer in that manner. We don't pray often, but we start praying when we want or need something from God. We start praying, hoping to get something from God. And we do this because we think that Christianity and prayer are about us. We think that Christianity or following Christ is about us getting into heaven, us having an easier life, us getting the things that we want. And we think that prayer is about us getting what we want from God. But I don't think that's what following Christ is really about. And I don't think that's what prayer is really about either. In Moses' prayer in Psalm 90, Moses doesn't ask for things. He doesn't ask God for God to provide him with food or shelter or a good job or to get rid of all his enemies or good grades or even to pass an exam. He does ask for a few things later on, but they don't come until verse 12. And the things that he asks for are typically not things that we generally ask God for when we pray. Moses asks God, "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as you have seen as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to your children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Moses doesn't ask for the things that we generally ask for when we pray. Rather, he asks for more of God. He says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." He says, "Return, O Lord. Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love." How many times have we prayed, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love"? He prays, "Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil." We pray for him to take away the affliction and to take away the evil, rather than acknowledging that affliction and evil are part of our lives. He prays, "Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to your children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish the work of your hands upon us." Moses doesn't ask for things. He asks for God. He asks for more of God. He asks for a better perspective, one that helps him realize how small he is, how his days are numbered, so that he may have wisdom, and how great God is in the midst of all of this. He asks for God to return and have pity on them. He asks for God to satisfy them in the morning with God's steadfast love. He asks for God to show his power and work and favor to his people. I suspect that if we prayed more like Moses, if we asked God to satisfy us in the morning with a steadfast love, I think that God would answer that prayer. I suspect that if we prayed for God's wisdom, I think God would answer I was proven by Unia last night that my English is not good, and here it is again. I suspect if we prayed more like... Now I don't know where I am. I suspect that if we prayed for God's wisdom, I think God would honor that prayer as well. Maybe not the way we want. Maybe not with a snap of his fingers giving us wisdom. But I think that God would answer that prayer by teaching us or by leading us through things that force us to trust God and rely upon God. But when things get difficult, instead of praising God for teaching us wisdom, don't we often complain? Don't we often complain that we asked for wisdom and instead God is giving us trials? You see, I think Moses prays differently than most of us. And I'm including myself in this because Moses saw things differently than most of us do. He knew that he wasn't the center of everything. He knew that following God wasn't about him. And he got that. He understood that it's about being in relationship with God. It's about being in relationship with the maker of heaven and earth. And that's why he starts out by putting things in perspective. He starts out by elevating God and lowering himself. Moses says in verse 1 and 2, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, you brought forth the whole world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God." See, Moses knew that it's all about God. It's about God who is eternal, who has no beginning or end, who's everlasting to everlasting, and he knew that prayer is about God. And because God is so great, so much greater than us, it's all about him. That's why he continues in verse 3, "You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals.'" He's comparing God, who is everlasting, to everlasting, and us, who return to dust. He knows his place. He knew that while God is eternal, without beginning and without end, we, on the other hand, are mortal. We turn back to dust when God says so. Moses understood and had the right perspective. And I think that's something that most of us need to learn when it comes to prayer. I say really learn because I think we all know it. We've heard it time and time again. We know it. We know it in our heads, but we don't understand it. We don't live out that truth in our lives. We don't always live out the truth that God is the center of everything and we circle around God. We may say it, we may say we understand it, but I think our actions don't always back it. That's why we pray the way we pray. That's why we pray, Lord, give us this, give us that. Because we live like we are the center and God is the genie who grants our wishes and desires. But that's not the way it is. And the sooner we realize that, I think the sooner our prayer life will change for the better. The sooner we realize that this is about God, it is for God, I think the sooner our prayer lives will change. But I don't think that's the only thing that hinders our prayer lives for some of us. Again, I think we know the truth, but we get fooled by the lies. I think there are some of us who are afraid to pray because we're afraid of what God would think of us. If God really knew what was in our hearts, I think some of us think that if God knew what was there, he wouldn't like us. And we think that if we pray, God would know what's in our hearts. And so we think by not praying, we can hide from God. And I think that's why Moses says in verse 8, "You have set your iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." Moses' prayer is a reminder that there's nowhere we can hide from God. There is nothing we can do, and there's nowhere we can go where we can hide from God. God knows everything about us. He knows the deepest, darkest parts of our hearts, the anger we hide from others, the hurt that we try to cover up, the bitterness and the sins that we're ashamed of. He knows it all. And so there's no point in not praying, thinking that if we don't pray, God's not going to know. Because God already knows. He knows it all. Whether we pray or not, God knows what's going on inside us. And it's not going to change how he feels about us. It's not going to make him love us less. It's not going to make him say, "Oh, no, I can't answer your prayers because you're not good enough. No, remember, you did that this day a few weeks ago, so no, I can't answer your prayer today." It's not going to make God do that. Because in spite of knowing all of our deepest, darkest secrets, he still loves us. In fact, he loves us so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for us. He loves us so much that Paul says in Romans 5, verses 6 to 8, "You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait until we got our act together and straightened out our lives. He didn't wait until we came back to him and said, "I'm sorry, I'll change," before he died for us. He died for us while we were still sinners. And that means we don't have to get our lives together before we start praying. We can start praying to him right now. We can start praying to him about anything and everything, even those deepest, darkest secrets that we don't want anyone to know about. We can bring them to God in prayer because he already knows all about them. And in spite of knowing all of those things about us, he still loves us. See, I think we can pray because prayer isn't about changing God. Even though a lot of times we tend to think that prayer is about changing God, it's not. We may say that we think prayer is about a change. We may not say that we think prayer is about changing God, but if you look at the way most of us pray, I think underlying the way we pray is the thought that we think we can change God. That's why we ask God for all of these things. As if God wasn't going to originally give us those things anyways. We go and ask God, God, give me this, give me that. God, I need this. I need to pass an exam. I need to get a job. I need money to pay my bills. Because deep down inside, I think we think that prayer is about changing God's mind to give us what we think we need, to like us a little bit more. But prayer isn't about changing God. Prayer is about changing us. Prayer is about making us more like God. It's about changing us so that the things that are important to God become important to us. It's about changing us so that when we see, so that when the world sees us, we look more like Christ than we do the world. It's about changing us so that we love the world the way Christ loves us. You see, prayer's not about getting what we want from God. It's about God changing us to be more like Him. And until we wrap our heads around that, and until we realize how important being more and more like Christ really is, I don't think our prayer lives are really going to change. I don't think our prayer lives are going to change much until we wrap our heads around the fact that prayer isn't about changing God, but it's about us becoming more like Him. Because if I believe I'm the center of everything, that the Christian life is all about me getting into heaven, about me having a good life here on earth, about me getting the things that I want God to give me, then there's really no need to pray. There's no need to pray other than to get the stuff that I want. Or if I believe that I can hide from God, that I can continue to live in my sins and then just turn to God only when I need something, and that avoiding God will keep my sins out of His vision, then of course we're not going to pray. Because we don't want God to look down on us. But if we really believe that following Christ isn't about me, but that it's about having and enjoying a relationship with the one who gave it all away for us, if we really believe that following Christ is about serving Jesus and pleasing Jesus, then there's no reason not to pray. In fact, if we really believe that, then it should make us want to pray more. Because prayer isn't going to change God, but it's going to change me. And if we believe that prayer changes us, it will make us want to pray because we should want to be more like Christ. Just like you want to spend time with the people whose company you enjoy, but you really should be spending time with the people who actually make you better. If we really believe that spending time in prayer will change us, we will spend more time with Jesus in prayer than spending time with our friends who we like. When I was younger, I was a bit of a tennis snob. I thought I was good until I played some people who were really good. Then I realized I wasn't that good at all. But I still thought I'm okay. But playing those really good guys made me realize a couple of things. One, I don't want to play with people who are a lot better than me. Because playing with people who are a lot better than me makes me feel really bad that I'm not as good as them. So I don't want to play with them. But I also realized I don't want to play with people who are a lot worse than me. Because playing with people who are a lot worse than me may make me feel good that I can beat them and I feel like I'm really good, but it doesn't actually help me in any way. Because I'm playing somebody who's not very good. So it may give me a false sense of confidence, but it's not really improving my game. And I realized the kind of people I need to play with are people who are just a little bit better than me and just a little bit worse than me. Because the ones who are a little bit better than me will push me to become better. And the ones that are a little bit worse than me, once in a while I need a little bit of an ego boost to say, yeah, I can still beat some people. But I realized I need to play with people who are a little bit better than me. Not necessarily people I like, not necessarily people who I have fun with, but people who are a little bit better than me because they push me and they challenge me to be a little bit better. And I think that's how prayer works. It doesn't change God and make God give us the things that we want or think we need. Prayer changes us. Because as we spend time with God, it makes us a little bit more like Him every day. It helps us to know and understand the things that are important to God. And it makes those things a little bit more important to us. It helps us to know God and God's heart for people. And it makes our hearts want to be a little bit more like God's heart. Prayer is about spending time with God so that we are changed and we become more like God. Because the more time we spend with God, the more we care about the things that God cares about. And the more we become a little bit more like God. But conversely, the more time we spend with others, and by default, the less time we spend with God, the more we become like the people we hang out with. I think I told this story to some of you here, but I had a Chinese friend in university. He was one of two guys that taught me most of the Chinese that I know. So he taught me things like Dai Loi or Lang Loi and what was the other one? No, I don't know that one. Big Boss. Dai Lo and Lang Loi. That's what I learned in university. That was the extent of the Chinese I learned in university. So if I say anything inappropriate in Chinese, you can blame them. Anyways, the one guy had a really, really distinct laugh. It was so distinct, you heard it, you knew it was him. Near the end of the school year, after 8 months of hanging out with him all the time, I was in the library studying with some friends. And from outside the library, we heard this guy laughing. And we were like, oh, Stan's here. About 5 minutes later, one of my roommates came in, and we didn't see Stan. So we asked him, hey, did you come with Stan? And he said, no, I haven't seen him. So we waited, and we're like, that's odd. We heard him. He's got to be here somewhere. Okay, I'm sure he'll come by. Because Stan always came by. Whenever he went to the library to study, he would do his rounds and check out who's in the library, see who's there, hang out for a bit, and then maybe a little bit later go do some work. So we figured, okay, he'll come by sooner or later. Then about an hour or so later, as we were talking, the roommate who came in started laughing. And the rest of the table looked up and looked straight at him. We couldn't believe he was laughing just like Stan. If I laugh like Stan, you guys will, like, you won't believe it. It's that, that's how distinct it is. You hear it, you know it's him. But all of a sudden, sorry? Maybe later. All of a sudden, my roommate is laughing like him. And we couldn't believe it. We're looking at him. 8 months of constantly hanging out with Stan had rubbed off on him to the point where he picked up his laugh subconsciously. He didn't mean to. Nobody meant to pick up that laugh. It just happened because he hung out with him so much and he heard that laugh over and over and over again. And I think prayer works in a similar way. It may not get us the things that we want all the time, but over time, prayer changes us. It makes us more and more the way we need to be. A little bit, changing us little bit by little bit to be more and more like Christ. Changing us little bit by little bit that our heart longs for the things that God's heart longs for. And that's why prayer is so important to the priesthood of all believers. Because if we really believe in Jesus, and if we really want to follow Him, then part of that has to be becoming more and more like Him. Caring about the things that He cares about. Loving our enemies the way He loved us while we were still enemies. Becoming more and more like Christ doesn't happen from 1 hour in church. No matter how much you hang around me, you'll probably pick up a sense of humor like mine and Sam's. That's why we get along so well. It's not that good to hang around me. It's much better to hang out with God, to spend time in prayer with God. Because as we spend time in prayer with God, it changes us to become more and more like Him. And that's why I think prayer is so important to the priesthood of all believers. It doesn't always get us what we want. But as we pray, it makes us who we should be, who we need to be. It makes us a little bit more and more like Christ daily. That's why prayer is so important. So I know we've talked about prayer a lot over the last couple of years. But I hope you'll take the time. As I say this, I'm not saying this to guilt anybody, but I hope if your prayer life isn't where our prayer life should be, I hope this will make you stop and think. Stop and look at yourself and wonder, examine yourself. Why don't I pray as much as I should? And hopefully this will be the start of a deeper and a growing prayer life with Christ. And again, I don't say this because I've got this all figured out. I don't. I'm working on my prayer life too. I'm trying to get a deeper and better prayer life too. And I know how difficult it is. So I don't say this to guilt anyone. I say this because I think this is the way we need to go as the priesthood of all believers. We need to pray more so that we become more like Christ. And as a church, we need to pray more so that as a church, we are more like Christ. Let's pray. Lord, if I'm honest with myself, I know how difficult prayer is. I know there are times that I don't want to pray. I know that there are times where it's very difficult to come before you and pray. So, Lord, would you help us? Would you help us to get a better perspective on what prayer is and what prayer should do? And would you help us to long to be in your presence? To long to be like you, to long to spend time with you. Lord, would you re-burn on our hearts the importance of prayer and how it's the best way to deepen our relationship with you. Lord, would you help us to improve our prayer lives so that we can be more like you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.